Morning. Welcome to Dayton Mennonite Church. We have a lot of people here this morning. I invite you to stand and worship with us. Palm Sunday, we're entering Passion Week, and we are reminded once again of God's plan for salvation for each and every one of us, that he died on a cross, that he shed his blood, that we might have salvation. In many of these songs, we speak of the word Redeemer, and Jesus is that. He is our Redeemer. So let's praise him for that this morning. Thank you.
Good morning and welcome to our service to Dayton Mennonite. Wow, so good to see the church full and to see so many friends and family here for the baby dedication. A lot of old familiar faces here this morning that I haven't seen for a while. So welcome to one and all, especially our visitors. I was thinking as the praise team was playing that set, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, only he knew that that was the last time that he would be going there before his crucifixion, before his passion, before his pain and suffering. And in Psalm 118, we find prophetic words that King David wrote about this occasion. For a devotional this morning, I'll be reading from Psalm 118, verses 19 through 29. 118, 19 through 29. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession, up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. Our offering this morning is for pastoral support. I invite the ushers, as well as the children who will be doing music, to come forward as I pray. Let's pray together. God, this morning we are so grateful for your love, your mercy. We thank you for the beauty of this Palm Sunday. And we can gather and worship you in freedom. We just thank you so much this morning for our pastors, for Mike, for Micah, and for Sean. And we pray, God, your abundant blessing on them, their families. We pray for physical and spiritual protection over them and their families. We pray now that you would bless this offering, both the gift and the giver. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. I want to greet you in the name of Jesus this morning, the Messiah of the world. Amen. Let's pray together this morning. God, I want to thank you for this time. We thank you for your love, for coming, and for being the Messiah that was promised. God, we ask that you would be here among us this morning, that you would work in our hearts. I pray for those that are here this morning and those who are watching online who do not know you, who are not fully surrendered to you and your work in their life. And I pray, God, that today would be the day of full surrender to you. God, we thank you for the children of this church. We thank you for blessing this church and answering prayers for younger children, Lord. And we pray as we have enjoyed hearing them sing praise to Jesus, and also as there's a dedication this morning of giving back to you what you have given, that it would be glorifying to you and that it would be about you and not about us here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So today is the first day of an important week in the life of a Christian. If you are here and you aren't familiar with Holy Week, we are at the very beginning of it, and it's called Palm Sunday. I remember as a kid, and it was miserable. I'm not going to lie to you. It was miserable. Some lady would come in with the big baskets of palm branches, and they'd say, yeah, all right, go wave these around and sing songs. And I remember it not being that cool. But that's what I remember about Palm Sunday. But it's more than about people waving palm branches. It's more than about people laying their garments down on the road. What Palm Sunday actually represents is a coming of a Messiah and a declaration that we want a king, and he's coming, and this is who he is. Later this week, and every day has a certain meaning, but I'm just going to hit the top three. So it's Palm Sunday is today. Good Friday is on this coming Friday, and that we remember. And there's a service here, so I invite you to come back then. But then we remember Jesus' death and his sacrifice, his sacrificial lamb that he was for our sin, and how he bore the weight of our sin on him on the cross. And then next Sunday morning, we will come back here and remember the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, conquering every part of the curse of sin. If he had just died on the cross, but not risen, the full scope of death would not be conquered. But he came, died, rose from the dead, so that we can have full confidence that we also will rise again and go to eternity with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So it's an exciting week. It's a week that Satan hates. It's a week of battle for a Christian. So I invite you to battle this week as well in your own spirit, trusting in Jesus and the work that he has done for us on the cross. I invite you to turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And this account of the triumphal entry is in every gospel. It's a little bit different in John than it is in the other three. But we are going to be coming at it from John chapter 12 this morning. Starting in verse 12. I want to give a little bit of context here just before we start. Jesus, if you remember, healed Lazarus from the dead just before this. And the Pharisees thought, if Jesus is rising people from the dead, we have a big problem. People are going to start believing that this is the Messiah, because the promise of the Messiah was that he would have power over death. And so they began even more so to start plotting and looking for opportunity to kill Jesus. But then we also remember Jesus coming and making his way towards Jerusalem, and he is anointed at Bethany, and it was in preparation for his burial. And nobody understood except Jesus what was happening at that time. And a large group of people came around Jesus and found out that Jesus was there. I mean, they found out Jesus was there and they came. But they were coming because he had rose Lazarus from the dead, more so then they were coming because they wanted Jesus. And that is where we're picking up here in a triumphal entry in verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast, which was Passover, Jesus was heading into Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, the disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Now, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread word about him. And many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. The Jews went out to meet a king. The Jews were under the control of the Roman Empire, and they were tired of being controlled by an outside government. They wanted freedom. They wanted to be their own king, and they were looking for a Messiah that was going to come, and they believed this Messiah was coming to free them from the Roman clutches upon them. And that they would be free to do whatever they wanted. They would be free to live in a land where they were making the decisions and they were the source of the law and the rules. We see, as I mentioned before, Lazarus in chapter 11 being raised from the dead, and we see at the end of the passage I just read here that these people were coming because Lazarus had been raised from the dead. I don't want us to miss this point. They were coming because Lazarus was raised. And in the prophecies that they were looking for, the Messiah would come, conquering death. So here is our king. Here is our king. So they took palm branches and they began to wave them. They laid down their cloaks as a way that the donkey wouldn't even have to touch the ground and rode in to the city. The palm branches were a symbol of victory and triumph and peace. They thought, this king will bring us political freedom. They yelled, Hosanna. And I've always liked the word Hosanna. I actually tried to talk my wife into naming one of our daughters Hosanna, but that didn't go over very well. But I never really honestly looked up what that means. And it means, save us, save us. So what they are yelling is, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the king of Israel. There was no king, but they are proclaiming him king, their king that they wanted. We see in the other gospels, we don't see it in this story here, but we see it in all the other accounts that Jesus goes to the temple. They proclaim him as king, and he goes to the temple. Jesus did not go to the temple and proclaim, the Romans are bad. I am here to lead opposition against them. What he did was, he went to the temple and condemned the righteous, the religious among them. He called them out and threw them out and called them the worst among the Jews. He didn't come as an offense to the Romans. He came as an offense to the righteous. This passage about Israel wanting a king calls me to think of another time Israel called out for a king. And I invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Now, if you remember, Samuel was the leader of Israel, but he was not the king. He was the priest. And Samuel was getting out old in years, and he had put his sons forward to be the new leaders of Israel. But Israel rejected his sons, probably rightfully so. They were not good men. They did not follow the ways of God. But instead of asking God what his plan was for them, they went to Samuel and said, we want a king. We'll pick up here in verse 4 of chapter 8 of 1 Samuel. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have. Just a sidebar. If you want to look like all the other nations, all the other people in your life, you are asking for a thing that is not centered on God and his purposes. I want to pick up here. So Samuel went to God and talked to him about it. And God said, you know, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. And he said, go to them and say this to the people. Samuel told the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. And he said, this is what the king who will reign over you will do. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow the ground and reap the harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be performers and cooks and bakers, and will take the best of your fields and vineyards and the olive groves, and will give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage, and give it to his officials and attendants. Your manservants and maidservants and the best of your cattle and your donkeys he will take for his own use. And he will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer you in that day. But the people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said, we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go before us and to fight all of our battles. When you have a king, which all of you do, the king will require every part of who you are. I don't know if you noticed when we were going down that list, it's sons, it's daughters, it's the best of your possessions. Not only possessions, but at the very end it says, you will be the king's slave. Whoever or whatever you make king in your life, it will require your full surrender. This picture I want to paint for you this morning is that each and every one of you this morning has Jesus as king riding into your life. He is here. He is the Messiah. He is ready to be Lord of your life. He is entering the city gates of your life. Do you want him to come in and be the king? You see, the people in the city came out, and when they thought they knew what Jesus was, when they thought they knew which areas of his life he would touch, they were willing. But when Jesus went to the areas of their life, to their social structures, that they did not want him in, what happened? We aren't 3 years away from the crucifixion. We're days away from the crucifixion. They put him to death. A lot of my life, some of your all's lives here, you would much rather the Romans be in control of your life than to have Jesus as king and Lord of your life. You would rather surrender your life to the world than you would to a king who's already in authority over everything. Jesus is ready to be king, but it will cost you everything, as they found out. It will cost you your land. It will cost you your possessions. It will cost you your children, as we're expressing this morning through child dedication. It will cost you your own life. I remember the passage, I believe it's from Matthew 7, where it says, narrow is the path that leads to life, and few find it. Few find it. Few find Jesus and the full surrender that it takes to make him king of your life. Jesus doesn't need your words. They were yelling, Hosanna. They were yelling, he is king. But he was not king. What Jesus requires is your surrender, that he is the Messiah. He is the king, and he is willing to be king over your life as well as mine. Next Sunday morning, we will celebrate Jesus raising back to life. We will also be celebrating that through a beautiful picture of baptism. And I invite you this morning, if you have held back because you do not desire to surrender your life or your pride or your fear to him, if you have been pushing against baptism, I invite you, this is the last opportunity, tell somebody this morning that you desire to be baptized as a symbol. It's a symbol of something that's already happened, a symbol of your full surrender to Jesus and his lordship over your life. I believe there are seven others. So you're not going to be alone up here. And we're with you. Let's pray together. Father, you know the streets that we don't want you on. You know the areas that we hold back. The secrets we try to keep from you, Lord, but we want to be a people who want the Messiah for your purposes instead of ours, Lord. May we not be a church that's just excited about miracles and praying for rain or praying for this and that and you being our little secret charm. We desire you to be our Lord and Savior. May we not be swayed like the represented here in Scripture. Where all they wanted was the miracle. All they wanted was the power over death. But they didn't want the king. Father, help us to see ourselves with honesty this morning. And we just ask for your conviction to come upon us. That we may see and know the areas of surrender needed. And that we would submit them. Lay them before the cross. And leave them there for you. Because only you can carry that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite those families who are dedicating their children to come forward at this time. This is an exciting time. This is a public declaration that you don't have parenting all figured out. So if you are here this morning and you're single, and you have all the answers, you'll quickly realize when you have a child that you don't. And that literally, it takes the work of God in your child's life to call them unto himself. And so we desire to surrender the children back to him, that the Holy Spirit's work would be alive and at work in each of their lives. I invite Hoppy here to go first, and we'll continue on.
Good morning. I'm Sean Rhodes, and this is my wife, Jeanette, my oldest daughter, Hannah, my son, Mason, Oakley is somewhere, and then Malachi, who we're dedicating. So we struggled this time with coming up with names. It was just seemed more of a struggle. But then one day, Jeanette said, Malachi, what do you think of Malachi? And I looked up the meaning of it, and it means a messenger of the Lord. And I got to thinking, and I liked the meaning more than I probably liked the name, but now I really like the name. His middle name is Asher, which means a blessing or happiness, and it reflects our prayer for him, that he will be a joyful bearer of the gospel. Our hope is that Malachi will boldly and willingly share the good news of Jesus, no matter where life takes him. Our greatest hope is not success by the world's standards, but faithfulness to God's calling on him. We recognize that Malachi is first and foremost a child of God, and we are simply entrusted with his care, nurture, and spiritual growth. We commit to raising him in a home where Christ is honored and the gospel is lived out. And today, we want to make a public declaration that Malachi belongs to our God. We give him back to the Lord, and in dedicating his life to God's service. And we ask you for your prayers, for encouragement, for accountability as we raise him in faith. Please pray that Malachi would grow to know, to love, and to serve Jesus with his whole heart. Thank you for standing with us as a church.
Good morning. My name's Dwayne Heatwall. This is my wife, Toma, and our sleepy little man, William Bennett. He's 4 months old now. I originally came up with the name for him and thought it sounded good, and she looked it up, and William means resolute protector, and Bennett means blessed, so we decided it was a good fit for him. Our desire is for William to grow up loving the Lord, and that he'll be a blessing and a light to those that he encounters in life. We appreciate the impact Dayton has had on our lives, and we look forward to raising him amongst our church family here, and hope that it has the same impact on his life. But also, it looks like he's going to have a lot of friends to grow up with, so I think that'll be fun. So thank you.
Good morning. I'm Mike. This is Hannah Troyer. You see up there George, Eliza, Annie, and Henry. This is Henry James. He was born February 1st. The name Henry means ruler of the home. Heinrich, home, rule, Henry, that's where that comes from. And it's a good thing he was a boy because we were naming our child Henry. That's how that went. We really liked the name and we were going that route. You know, from Genesis, and it's clarified with the creation of man, that man was made to rule with God, and then man decided to do it separate from God. Big problems ensued. But our future is to rule with Christ. And so the name is very special to us. But we also know that we don't want to raise a young man who grows up thinking he's in charge and out of his sinful nature, you know, goes and dominates his surroundings. His middle name is James, which is my father's name. And that means heel grabber, supplanter, follower of Christ, and control of his actions. So here we have Henry James, and we want to raise him to be Henry James. There's a lot of power in a name. You know, if I called my children loser, they would probably start to act like it. And we want to call him Henry James. Does that make sense? So he wasn't just born into our family. He's born into this family. So we need your help and covet your prayers as we move forward. Thank you.
Good morning, church. I'm Aaron Heatwall. This is my wife, Brianna, and this is our fourth child, Ivy May. Hensley, Trace, and Landon are older three. We are thankful for a healthy baby and recognize God as the author of life. We want to dedicate Ivy to God this morning as a statement and a reminder that she is God's, and as her parents, our desire is to raise her to love and serve Jesus Christ. Psalm 37, 3 through 6. Trust in the Lord and do what is good. Dwell in the land and live securely. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act, making your righteousness shine like the dawn, your justice like the noonday. Being a part of this church has been a blessing, and we continue to desire your accountability and wisdom as we strive to raise our family for the Lord. Thanks.
Hello, church. My name is Diego Sandoval. This is my wife, Brooke. And together, we would like to dedicate Jordan Isaiah and Joanna Lucille. They were born January 8th, and they're doing great. The name Joanna means God is gracious, and we feel God has been extremely gracious in allowing us to raise twins. We are super grateful to the church for all the support so far with the meals and the texts and the prayers. We feel we are blessed to be a part of a community of believers who pushes us as parents to be proactive in our children's Christian walk. We welcome the challenge to direct Jordan and Joanna's paths to one that glorifies God. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Sheldon and Vanessa Yoder. Now, this is our oldest, Blakely. And then we have Luca and Eliana. And then we have Isabel, Naomi, and Victoria Rose. We want to thank everyone who has helped us as we've had twins. Vanessa was hospitalized for about 20 days before they were born, and we would not have been able to make it to where we are without the help of family, the church with meals and prayers, and just everything. God has answered so many prayers, big and small, through the pregnancy with the twins and with the birth and the health of the girls. He has just shown himself very faithful these last almost 5 months now. We want to dedicate the girls to the Lord and ask for your help in setting godly examples that point them to Christ. Our prayer for our family is that our children will be known as followers of Christ, who serve others with joy, and who have hearts of gratitude. And we pray and are thankful for your help in that.
Hello, my name is Josh Petersheim, and this is my wife, Evelina, and our daughter, Eden Victoria. She will be 7 weeks old tomorrow. We want to dedicate Eden to God in recognition that she belongs to him, first of all, as she is his creation. Our prayer for her throughout the pregnancy and now is that she will grow up to be a person that is uncompromising in speaking the truth from a heart of love and compassion for people. But right now, Eden, as you can see, is pretty helpless. She's dependent on us for everything. She can't move from one place to another in the house. She can't feed herself. She can't dress herself. She can't even clearly articulate her needs. As she grows up, we expect that she will become less and less dependent on us physically to meet her physical needs. But she also has spiritual needs that she's helpless to meet. And those needs won't go away as she gets older. Our prayer is that as she grows, we can help her recognize her spiritual needs at a young age, that she would fully turn to God, and that she could be, and that we could be faithful stewards to lead her from complete dependence on us to complete dependence on God. We welcome and appreciate your input as we seek to train up our child in the way she should go. Thank you.
I would like to ask each of you a vow, and just feel free, after I'm done reading the two vows, each vow, to say, I do. Do you dedicate yourself to pursue relationship with God by trusting in the finished saving work of Jesus Christ and depending on the Holy Spirit to guide and direct your life, knowing that the life you model will shape your children more deeply than the words that you say? Do you dedicate yourself to raise your children with biblical love, instruction, and discipline? Will you teach your children to love Jesus, knowing that your primary responsibility as a parent is to train your child and to follow Jesus? Thank you all for that. I invite those who will be praying a prayer of blessing to come forward at this time, all of you, and we will start right here.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the privilege of witnessing this ceremony today. Thank you, Lord, for the miracle of life. Thank you that you brought Henry James into the world safely. It's just so neat to see and to witness how you, with all your power, care so much about this little life, how you have formed him in the womb, how you have designed him, and you have set up the purposes for him as he grows up. I thank you, Lord, that Mike and Hannah have the privilege of raising him. And Lord, I pray for protection. Protection for little Henry, Lord, in every way. I pray for protection for his body. I pray for protection for his mind and his intellect and for his emotions. And most of all, for his heart, for his relationship with you, Lord. I just pray that you would protect him until he comes to the age where he is ready to give his life to you. I pray against the forces of evil that conspire against him in this way. And Lord, I pray for wisdom for Mike and Hannah as they look to you for this wisdom. Help them to be patient during those times when he may require a lot of patience. And Lord, I pray for the church here as they continue to help raise all these little ones, especially Henry, give them wisdom as well. We just commit him to you, Lord, and that he would be a mighty warrior for you in the years to come. Amen.
Dear Lord, I thank you for this day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you for Sean and Jeanette and their young family. I just pray, Lord, that you will bless them and help them as they strive to serve you in spirit and in truth. Lord, I thank you for Malachi. I pray that you will bless him with good health and strength as he is given life. Lord, I pray that he will surrender his will to you at a young age. Lord, that you will watch over him and protect him and keep him safe physically and spiritually. Now, Lord, make your face to shine upon him. Be gracious unto him. And Lord, lift up your countenance upon him and give him peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our Father, we thank you for little William. We just pray your blessing on him. He would have a healthy mind, healthy body. He would grow to be a strong young man, a follower of you. Pray that you would give him the gift of wisdom and discernment, that he could serve in your kingdom in a mighty way. Pray for Dwayne and Toma as they lead and nurture this young man, that they would guide him. Pray that you would bless their home. In Jesus' name.
Dear Lord, thank you for Ivy May. Just thank you for the life that you have formed in her. Pray for Aaron and Brianna as her parents and the roles that you've placed on them. Just pray for Aaron as the leader of the family and Brianna in her role as a mother. Pray that you would give them the just the wisdom and discernment as they guide and direct the paths of their children. Just pray a special blessing over Ivy's life, that you would give her grace, and pray for purity over her also, and pray that she would come to know you and be a good influence to those around her, and that people would be able to see your light and just see what has been poured into her through her life. We just thank you for this addition to their family and pray that you would bless her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Lord, we thank you for the gift of Jordan and Joanna. We ask that as they grow up, that you could protect them from evil. We ask that you would bless Jordan with courage, that he would grow up to be a man of strength and integrity. And for Joanna, we pray that her life would be filled with your peace and joy, that she would be a light to those around her. May they both know your love and follow your path. Amen.
God, I want to pray for Isabel and Victoria. Thank you for their lives, Lord. I pray that you would touch them at a young age, that they would have an essence of Jesus on their life and purity, that you would give them the desire to walk with you, give you the desire to live a godly life, give them desires that reflect the fruits of the Spirit. Thank you for Sheldon and Vanessa, Lord, and the work that you're doing in them. Pray that you would give them energy and courage on these days. And when they're worn out and tired, I pray that they would find their strength and their steadfastness in you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Eternal Father, we're grateful for your gift of life to Josh and Miss Eva. And we're grateful that you already made a way for Miss Eden to walk with you, Lord. We're grateful for your Spirit that calls us into the paths of eternity and to walk with you. We pray a special blessing on Miss Eden Victoria as she begins to grow and follow you, Lord. We ask that your Spirit would speak to her at a young age, that her heart would be pliable and tender to the words, to to the wooing of your spirit. We ask that she would respond, that she would follow you, Lord, that her life would be one of just grace and mercy and humbleness and brokenness, but a complete dedication to walking with you no matter the cost. We pray for Josh as he leads in the home. Give him wisdom to guide his family well. Help him to reflect the love of the God, the love of the Father God to his children. We pray for Miss Eva as she is the tender, loving. We ask that you would help her to reflect your mercy. We ask for wisdom to help them know when to discipline or when to hold. We ask for mercy as they raise their family. May they be a outreach of your kingdom wherever you plant them. We ask this in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen.
Amen. Well, I invite you all to go back to your seats, and Steve will come lead us in some singing.
The Red Mennonite Hymnal 355. No, it isn't. No, it's not right. Thought I had it. 335. Sorry about that. Children of the Heavenly Father. Sunday song. Hosanna, loud Hosanna.
As we continue in Passion Week in the next few days, it becomes painfully aware to all of us as we read the scriptures that many of those probably who were shouting Hosanna on Palm Sunday and proclaiming Jesus as King, as Lord, five short days later, were saying, crucify him. Now, how fickle we are as human beings. And I guess my challenge to each one of us, and myself first of all, let's make Jesus Lord of our life each day of this week, not just on Palm Sunday. We have a number of announcements that I want to touch on this morning. First one being on behalf of Church Council and the leadership team, I want to profoundly thank each one of you for your participation in the elder nomination and affirmation process. All three candidates received overwhelming positive affirmation from the congregation, which is a huge blessing for our church. Gerald Note and Jason Nicely were affirmed as new elders, as well as Rylan Horst for another term. So let's continue to pray for these men, as well as their wives and families. Micah mentioned earlier Good Friday service. As we have traditionally done for the last 6-8 years, we will be having a service of remembrance Friday evening at 7 o'clock. There'll be a lot of music, scripture reading, prayer, followed by communion. We look at this as a community service, an outreach for our church, so please invite your coworkers, neighbors, friends, family. We love to have each one of you attend and bring someone with you. We will be having our spring revivals April 26th through 28th. That's two weekends from now, with Paul Mass from New York. Those of you that were here 5 years ago during COVID will remember that Paul preached our revivals, I believe, at the produce auction that summer. So that's who will be preaching our revivals. Remember Paul and his wife Bonnie as they travel, and as he prepares to speak to us. Micah, do you have anything more you want to add about next Sunday?
Next Sunday is our Easter service, and I just want to give a few details about that. I invite each of you to come next Sunday morning at 8:45. There will be a breakfast served in the basement. Now, this is a come-and-go type thing. We can't have everybody show up at 8:45. So, officially, the doors open at 8:45, but you can come a little bit earlier, possibly. You'll get food. It will be served through 9:45. And then our service up here will be at 10. And we just invite you all to come. As Buff said, we see these times together in celebration as a community event, and we invite you to come. One note about the breakfast is you are not asked to bring anything. Everything is provided. You just show up and celebrate Jesus' resurrection with the rest of the body.
Thank you, Micah. There's a number of other announcements in the bulletin. Two, I'll just touch on. Don't forget the upcoming yard sale here, as well as the benefit auction for our building in the back. It's also coming up. All those details are in the bulletin. I won't labor you with the details, but please read your bulletin. Okay, this brings us to the time of our closing prayer. I ask you to stand with me as we pray together. God, this morning, it's been such a privilege and a pleasure to be here in your house with your people, to worship together, to hear from your word, to see these precious babies dedicated to you and to your service. And we just specifically pray for each one of these families that you would bless and guide them as they raise their children. We thank you for our new elders, for Gerald, Jason, and for Rylan as he continues in service. We just lift them up, as well as their wives and families. We pray, God, for physical and spiritual protection on their lives, and we just pray that they would be filled with your Holy Spirit, that you would enable them to carry out the mission of the church. We thank God of those in our congregation who are suffering this morning. We think of our brother Pedro, of Danny, of Brent, of our sister Rachel. We just pray, God, that you would bring healing to their lives and their bodies. We pray that they would experience the love and presence of your Spirit each day as they struggle with health issues. We pray for those who maybe even now taking the gospel into dark places in the world. We think of both Christians and missionaries in places like Syria, Iran, China, Afghanistan, and many other places, God, where your word is going out, where believers may be meeting in secret. We pray, God, that you would bless and honor their service to you, that you would protect them from evil, that they would know your love and your presence. We pray now for each one here, God, as we go from here and contemplate your great sacrifice for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. As we contemplate that sacrifice in the coming week, we just pray, God, that each one of us would be mindful of your love for us and the great gift that you gave through your Son, Jesus. We ask all this in his precious name. Amen. Go in peace. You're